Today is Sunday, November 14th, 2021. And for time's sake, we're going to just jump right in here and we'll read a few verses to warm up. All right. Thank you for informing me that our sound is coming through. Okay. This is, we'll take one here from Galatians 4:19. The Apostle Paul says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." It's interesting that the Lord is using the same pattern and analogy today, okay, and regarding the growth of the church and the symbolisms that he's provided for us, which has to do with the bride. That which God is unfolding, okay, within the development of the church is also manifested in that symbolism, okay, of the bride. Well, this is in Galatians 4:19. The Apostle Paul also experienced similar things. All right, that's Galatians 4:19. Here's one, Galatians 5:1. Okay, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," okay, which has to do with the temperance of your faith. Okay, the temperance of your faith. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Yeah, I like that word entangled there, because it identifies the snares. Okay, the snares which have to do with the ancient traditions, okay, the tokens of that first covenant. Okay, there is many believers that carry on the tradition of that first covenant, okay, into the second covenant, okay, and by doing that, they contaminate their faith, because their faith isn't built upon the reflection of revelation, but rather upon the reflection of tradition, okay, that which is of man. We see the Pharisees did the same thing. When they said, "We be Moses' disciples," hey, their reflection was based upon that which is earthy. Okay, or when they said, "We are of Abraham's seed," okay, they were basing it on historical facts, okay, but not within a present anointing, which is Jesus, the stewardship, okay, the anointing upon the present stewardship. So the Apostle Paul is telling the Galatians, which are Gentiles, he told them to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Okay, this is your place of confidence. Okay, the anointing and the stewardship. Okay, and it's through the anointing and the stewardship that's freed you from the snares of that first covenant, the snares of the law, okay, which work death. All it builds is that which is of the guilt of the conscience, okay, but not the purging of the conscience. Okay, the purging of the conscience follow that which is of that which is the Spirit, Jesus' resurrection. Okay, so stand fast, you want to make a note on that. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Okay, we're with Christ. Okay, the token of that anointing has made us free of that snare of carnal things. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, that which is of Moses' law. Okay, of course, those which are entangled with it, Christ has become no effect unto them. Of course, the Apostle Paul brings that out just a few verses down here in Galatians 5:4. Christ has become no effect unto you. Nay, in other words, there's nothing that's transpiring within your heart. Nay, your soul is yet empty of any virtue. Okay, it's empty of virtue, but yet you're still full of the carnal aspiration. Okay, when the carnal aspiration dominates the believer, okay, they begin to fall away. In other words, the leaf dries, okay, or the fruit dies on the vine. So Christ has become no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. He says you are fallen from grace. Okay, now in the second eighth week, okay, we're restoring this holy knowledge for the purpose of that the righteous, okay, will continue to draw from that succulent fountain, okay, the succulent fountain, or drawing the sap of the vine. So Christ has become no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. Okay, if you observe the carnal things, in fact, we'll be talking more about that here. Okay, if you observe the carnal things, you're making, okay, your ability becomes your God. Okay, there's that which is a natural instinct. Okay, that which is natural instinct is set within, okay, a frame of tradition. Okay, a frame of tradition also that which is familiar. And that was in Galatians 5:4, if you might want to make a note on that. Here's 5:13, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh." Okay, or in other words, don't remove that or replace that, okay, with carnal tokens. Observing the Sabbath day, water baptism, physical communion, circumcision, Okay, observing those things of that first covenant. For brethren, you've been called into liberty. Now here we see what Paul's concluding in his letter, the book to the Galatians here. You can compare that which he began his letter with as concerning those which snared them with the law. For if I build again on things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. So the Apostle Paul is giving contrast for them, okay, as the Lord gives contrast to us today, okay, by using the law for that contrast, okay, in regarding what he's doing presently, okay, the anointing. So for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, that which is the anointing that frees us from the condemnation of the law. You only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, which is law, but by love serve one another, which is your charity. Your charity serves as your sacrifices. Okay, in the assembly, in fact, we'll be doing that today. We continue to serve one another through this charity. Well, let's see one more of the book of Isaiah. I see our time has crept up on us here. All right, this is out of Isaiah. And Isaiah says, as for me, this is my covenant, he says here, with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon you and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth. And that's what we do. Okay, the knowledge which we have receiving is that which we regurgitate. Okay, that which we reflect in God's voice. Okay, we reflect in God's voice. Just like when the Lord reflected to my voice. Okay, concerning wisdom and love. Okay, he reflected that which is of my voice. And that's what we do. We reflect to God in the voice of Christ. And the voice of Christ is in our charity. That's what we prophesy. This is what the anointing uses. Okay, says here, okay, my spirit which is upon you and my words which I put in your mouth should not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth, okay, and forever. That's the same thing that we do today. Okay, we're preserving the knowledge of God through our charity. And a charity, of course, is also the salt that preserves your own soul. Okay, and let's get started in the book of Philippians. So everyone should be there now for those that just came in. Okay, we're in Philippians chapter 3. Okay, he goes on here in verse 18, Philippians 3:18. For many walk, of whom I told you often. Now, we brought some things out last week. Okay, and regarding the opposition of those, okay, which want to preserve their tradition. For many walk, of whom I told you often, now till even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. When the Apostle Paul uses the word cross, okay, the word crucified, or the word blood, of course we know he's in references to this covenant, okay, the blood of the Lamb, this covenant, okay, that which Jesus paid for, okay, God paid for this, okay, for this pattern, okay, and this is the pattern which we are to reflect. This is what our responsibility is at this present time, okay, we are to reflect, rehearse, and reciprocate according to this divine pattern. Okay, and this is our mobility. Okay, our mobility is within this knowledge. Okay, this knowledge is like petrol or like gasoline put in your car. Okay, it gives the car mobility. So knowledge gives mobility. Okay, the proper knowledge gives mobility. Okay, in other words, we don't mix petrol with water. Okay, you don't mix petrol with water because when you do, you reduce the effectiveness of it. Okay, so we see our petrol or knowledge is pure knowledge. Okay, this is the language which we speak, a pure language. A language of faith is your pure language. For many walk, of whom I told you often, now tell you even weeping. So the Apostle Paul is providing, again, contrast to the Philippian saints. Now, just like we can see the contrast which was presented by the anointing of that of many different covenants. Okay, as we go back, we'll be going to the book of Genesis today to review some of these contrasts. Okay, and regarding that which the anointing is presenting at the present time to show transition. Okay, transition also to show certain patterns, okay, within those transitions, and also to show the stewardship of these transitions and new pattern. Okay, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Because these are those which desire the open signs of the law to confirm their faith. They desire the open signs. And we can see that the Lord does give open signs. Okay, but the concealed sign is within the pattern of our faith, Jesus Christ, though he gives miracles and healings, okay, dreams and visions, which he has done since the beginning of the world. Okay, since the beginning. Okay, he gives dreams and visions. He gave them to Enoch and Noah and Abraham. Okay, and so by these things, okay, these are the tokens which he's provided in order to confirm this divine pattern, but not to replace it. Miracles and healings are not to replace the covenant. We can see that the false religious system, the earthly church, okay, replaced the covenant with the aspirations for God to involve himself in miracles and healings, okay, casting out devils. Now we can see that many are going to say in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Okay, the Lord, didn't we do many wonderful works that we cast out devils in your name? And the Lord is going to say, I don't know you. In other words, this wasn't the oil that was to be put within your lamp. The oil in your lamp has to do with that of my anointing. Okay, that which is my anointing is the mark which I put upon the righteous. And my mark upon the righteous, okay, is that token of ownership by the fruit that you bear. Okay, here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So should be my disciples. Okay, this is the oil and the lamp of the wise virgins. Now the unwise virgins, the foolish virgins, they had the lamp. They knew the location of the door. Okay, they also communicated with the women that had oil and lamps. Okay, and they desired association, okay, through the abandonment. Okay, give us of your oil. But this was the fruit, okay, of their commitment. This is the fruit of their regeneration. Okay, the fruit of the regeneration cannot be shared in, okay, by the unbeliever. The fruit of that regeneration, except by those which are also engrafted within the vine. As Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Only those that drink of him, okay, have the oil within the lamp. Okay, but the foolish wanted to steal that. They wanted to take ownership of that for themselves in order to gain entrance. Okay, and we see the earthly church is doing the same thing. The earthly church steals the knowledge, okay, and by association, they feel that they're going to enter that door. But the door is opened only to those whose lamps are full. Okay, and that has to do with the fruit bearing and that which God has put within your own heart, okay, through charity. So we can see that our mobility, okay, has to do with the oil in the heart. Okay, the oil in the heart, just as the preparation, okay, of that which is the priesthood of that first covenant, okay, whereas oil was poured upon the head. Okay, the oil poured upon the head, okay, represented that token of ownership of priesthood. And through that token of ownership through the priesthood, okay, they could enter into that veil, or we enter that door. Now let's go to verse 19 here. Okay, whose end is destruction. Okay, those whose vessels are empty of oil, their end is destruction. They'll be the ones saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And Lord says, I don't know you. Okay, you don't have any marks of distinction, okay, that reflect me. Okay, your language is corrupt. Your tokens are impure. Your soul is yet full of filthiness. Okay, though you profess to know me. And Jesus said the same thing. Okay, it's concerning, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Your heart is bare, or you say, naked of faith. It has no faith in it. Whose end is destruction. Okay, your works are sterile. There's no power in it for multiplication. Your works are sterile. Whose end is destruction? Because you're wandering in derision and your ruin of faith. So whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? So highlight the word God is their belly. God is their belly. We'll be talking more about that here in a moment. Okay, when your God is their belly, then your glory is in your shame, which means your brightness is your own letter. Okay, and that letter is less than the light of God. Anything that's less than God's light is called a shame. Okay, and that's why Satan is the prince of the darkness of this world. And he has that title. He has gained that title called shame. He's less than the light of God. Okay, but yet his own light is his own wisdom. And his own wisdom is self-referencing. It's severed from the Godhead. So also his children. His children pursue knowledge. Hey, but it's severed from the Godhead, being unsanctified. When it's joined to the Godhead, it's sanctified, and therefore it's succulent for the soul. The soul drinks of these things. Okay, and this is what the Spirit and the Bride say to those that hear. He that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit or the Bride is saying to the churches. Come of me and drink of this well. Okay, we see this in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Self-referencing, whose glory is in their shame. The brightness of their own letter is darkness. Okay, if that light be in you be darkness, and how great is that darkness? Okay, if your light is only the, you say, your scholastic and intellectual pursuit of religious knowledge, and we can see this is prevalent, okay, within the earthly church today. There are many that are in the false religious system, the false church, the earthly church, okay, that are in pursuit, okay, of religious knowledge. And they'll even tell you that, okay, the pursuit of religious knowledge for any kind of master's or doctor's degree, okay, within that system, whatever that system will offer them, okay, to show that they have achieved a certain level of knowledge and understanding, okay, of certain traditional thoughts, religious and traditional thoughts, and therefore they're awarded, okay, a particular degree, maybe even a doctor's degree. Okay, there are certain degrees that are offered for the achievement of that system. Okay, and so God is their belly, okay, or the Esau believer. Okay, so the gut feeling type of discernment we should be talking about here when we go to the book of Genesis, but before we go there, we'll be going through some of the Gospels right here, Gospel of John and Luke. The gut feeling of type of discernment is that carnal discernment, as carnal discernment is weighing facts, okay, by natural things based on the familiar and traditional. If you might make a note on that one, it's based on the familiar and traditional. Okay, in other words, well, what a particular individual been raised in. If you're raised a Baptist, then that's the baseline. That's familiar and that's traditional for you. So everything is weighed accordingly. Even the interpretation of scriptures, okay, is weighed upon that, okay, upbringing. Okay, that is familiar and traditional thought, okay, which is carnal discernment. Okay, that kind of discernment, okay, will resist the anointing. Okay, and we can see, okay, that we can see how this has played out throughout history. Okay, it's been played out through history in the past, is being played out in history at the present time, and we played out also in the future. Okay, as the beast, the dragon, the false prophet resist Enoch and Elijah, and the false religious system, the early church, resists the preaching of the 144,000. See, because 144,000 will be pointing to the stewardship of Enoch and Elijah. And Enoch and Elijah, their presence is going to look, they're going to look just like anybody else, look like people. Okay, of course, they're angels right now. Okay, they're angels right now who have also, they've been assigned angelic names. Okay, as Enoch was assigned angelic name of Metatron. Okay, as also Elijah's name, okay, was also reassigned, or his new name. Okay, also, as also we will begin, receive new names, angelic names. Okay, one name of the, we have a name of the flesh, okay, which are presently named, and we have a name of the spirit, we have a name of water for water, and we have a name for fire. Okay, as also Jesus. Okay, he receives a new name, as concerning that which is, okay, transpiring at this present time as being the mediator of this covenant. Okay, when it's completed, his name will be one, and he'll receive a new name, secret name. Okay, and that new name and secret name, okay, is only given to those that have the white stone. Now, of course, we know the stone isn't some kind of mineral that's been dug out of the soil. Okay, that white stone has to do with the intensity of a pure light, okay, which has to do with the pure conscience of God. All right, so we're going to go from here now. Keep in mind what we're talking about. The theme today is concerning God as their belly. Okay, the appetites of the flesh, which is that which is familiar and traditional. And we're going to jump over here to the Gospel of John firstly, okay, and we're going to see what happens here. So we're going to go to the Gospel of John chapter 7. So I'm going to turn there right now, and you can make a note on that. Okay, but make sure you put your a marker here in the book of Philippians, because, of course, ultimately we'll be coming back here. So God is their belly. Now we're going to see here in John chapter 7, verse 1. Okay, 7 verse 1. Now, after these things, that is because of all the threats, Jesus now uses precaution. He's not paranoid, but he's using precaution. Okay, so after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. Okay, that means he stayed up north there for a while after his threat. Okay, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. You might want to highlight that there, sought to kill him. He did many miracles, healings, deliverances, casting out devils, and raising the dead. Now, the works that he did, okay, we are presently doing today. Okay, now we're not talking about walking on water and multiplying the bread and raising the dead, though, okay, though God, if he initiates this gift, okay, will, of course, will happen, because the Apostle Paul talked about that concerning, okay, gifts of healing and gifts of miracles, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, okay, the gift of faith. Okay, of course, he talks about that, okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay, and we also can see, okay, where he also talks about, okay, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, the gifts here, and the operations, manifestations, administrations are given to everyone to profit with all. Okay, but that's not, that in itself is not the covenant. Okay, the covenant has to do with what is unfolding, okay, in your activity of priesthood, acknowledging the stewardship, and building the house of God by the Spirit. This is the covenant. Because the Jews sought to kill him, because he was, the activity which he was doing was providing contrast between the flesh and the spirit. Okay, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Now, this is a sign that was spoken against. He will be a sign spoken against, which we talk about when we turn to Luke here, Luke chapter 2. Okay, the sign spoken against stands against traditional thought. Okay, it stands against those things which a person was raised in. Okay, when people are raised within a particular philosophy, they adopt that philosophy as a baseline, as a reality. They begin to use that as the as a scale, okay, for their reality. So they look at a person's skin color or how they, or language. We see that in the Sudan today. People, they have a particular language, skin color, okay, or association is considered the enemy of those which don't. And so we see genocide, okay, in that respect. Okay, and of course, Satan enters that perspective as a seducing spirit. A seducing spirit enters the perspective, that particular perspective there, in order to destroy vessels of flesh. Okay, and by destroying vessels of flesh, he's removing the opportunities for these vessels of flesh, okay, to find bonding and unity with God for fruit bearing, okay, with their creator. Okay, so Satan is waging war against all Adamites. Okay, he's doing this through forms of deception and agreement. It sounds interesting, doesn't it? He destroys through deception and agreement. He did it with Eve. Deception was in that which is of agreement. And he agrees to that which is of the aspiration, because the aspiration leads the soul away into the light of their own signature, the aspiration, the principle, and the imagination. It leads Adamites into that direction. It's exploratory, okay, in order to fill, to see the soul. Adamites are not satisfied with reruns. Okay, they go to the theater to see something new. They really don't go to the theater to see reruns, things that were shown on the big screen, the silver screen there, 40 years ago or 60 years ago. Okay, we can see that. Okay, that's not the basis of the reality. Okay, we're talking about the greater works which Jesus spoke to his apostles. The greater works has to do with standing upon the tradition of the anointing. These are the works which we're doing today. Okay, the tradition of the anointing, this is your life. The tradition of anointing, for as many as live, walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit. This is what Paul brings out. Okay, this is our form of activity, is this is our bonding. Our form of activity is bonding. Okay, and we bond through charity. Okay, these are the works of righteousness, okay, which we're doing. These are the works of righteousness which Chief Elder John spoke about there in his epistle. Okay, between the works of Cain and the works of Abel. Okay, the works of Abel, okay, was that which is of faith. Okay, that which the Spirit was presenting to him at the present time. And he offered that which was pleasing to God, okay, which was in faith. Okay, or in contradiction of that which is, okay, of Cain's aspiration. Now let's turn over to the book of Luke. Okay, in the book of Luke here, we're going to start around verse 33. This is in chapter 2. And Joseph and Jesus' mother there, yeah, they marveled. They were surprised at these confirmations and the tidings from so many sources. Okay, and the sources now have to do with the angel, which, of course, announced the birth. The angel, we see one there, the angel to Mary, and Joseph's dreams, number 2. Elizabeth's confirmation, 3. Shepherd's confirmation, 4. Wise men there, Matthew 2:11. Okay, about the fifth confirmation, and Simeon and Anna here, the sixth and seventh confirmations we see right here. Look at all these confirmations. You think just one would be sufficient. Okay, but that's not how God operates. He doesn't just issue one, he issues another. That's grace upon grace, another upon another upon another upon another. Many confirmations are given. This is how God ordains our strength. God ordains our strength, or say, this is the a perpetual preparation for sustaining your strength. Okay, your priesthood, okay, your faith in a covenant. God continually sustains your faith through these visitations, through the visitations of the Lord. This is what Chief Elder Peter was talking about, and Chief Elder John, Chief Elder also Jude. Okay, Joseph and his mother, Jesus' mother, marveled at those things which were spoken of him. This is the aged Simeon. Now, Simeon also had a personal revelation from God that he would not see death, okay, until he saw the sign, okay, which is it's the same thing which God is doing today in regarding the rapture. Okay, now Simeon blessed them, which means Simeon furthered revealed to his parents many confirmations. And this is what the blessing is. He blessed them. So keep the word blessing in mind. The word blessed isn't just a word that people say when somebody sneezes. Okay, and of course now Satan did that. Satan took the blessing, okay, a further revelation, and put it within a reciprocation to one a person sneezing. So see, he took it from the clean to the unclean, a sneeze. He took it from revelatory and faith to that which is a sneeze, a pardon. A sneeze of pardon was only is concerning, oh, I see, I recognize your frailty and your weakness, and I excuse your frailty and your weakness in his form of expression of achu. But that's not what the blessing is it? It's not like that at all. It's further revelation. It's not just a sneeze. Okay, and he said to Mary, his mother, Simeon said this, now behold, this child, being a token steward, this child is set for a fall and rising again of many in Israel. This is the same thing God is doing today. The fall and rising, a tearing down and a building up. Okay, the knowledge which we share on Facebook and TikTok, okay, or Instagram, they earn Twitter, is a tearing down, but at the same time, it's a building up. Okay, this is the challenge. Okay, this is the word that's spoken against. This is the challenge which we have today. Okay, the greater works is in this pattern of tearing down and building up. Okay, these are the works that Jesus was speaking of to his apostles. He wasn't talking about walking on water. Of course, now Benny Hinn thought that the greater works had to do with the open manifestations. Okay, in other words, something that would be unusual. The laughter movement is one. Okay, or the, as Ronnie Howard Brown, was exalted for this particular demonic manifestation. And that's exactly what it was. It was a familiar spirit taking this form of expression. And they justified it. They justified it by finding a verse in the Bible about laughter. The scripture itself is not a justification. We're justified by faith, not by a letter. Not by ink and pen. We're not justified by ink and pen. They were justified by the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that's sustaining. Okay, if your faith is being sustained by ink, okay, then that's the letter, and the letter will kill you. But if your faith is being sustained by the Spirit, now you're being steadfast. Now you have the proper armor. Okay, because the armor of God, has to do with the vestments of your priesthood. Now he says here, behold, this child is set for a fall and rising again of many in Israel. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. Highlight that there in verse 34. A sign which shall be spoken against. Okay, remember, keep in mind, now we're talking about whose God is her belly. Okay, who God is her belly, or the gut feeling. Now, I remember that Kenneth E. Hagin preached concerning the red light, green light, and gut feeling is the basis for your choices of discernment. You hear that language in the mouth of the carnal-minded. Okay, when you share with them the basis of truth, the foundation of truth, many will say this, and I've heard this right from them, I don't feel right about this. I have a gut feeling, that this is not of the Lord. You see, it has nothing to do on the basis of the anointing at all. Okay, they reduced the anointing to a sneeze. They reduced the anointing to the feeling of the flesh, the feeling of the gut. Or the imagination, red light, green light. Oh, see, I got, I got a green light here. Okay, I think this is of the Lord. Or I got a red light here. I think, no, no, this can't be of God. I got a red light. Okay, everything is put within the belly. The belly has to do with the carnal thinking, familiar. The belly, the gut, is that which is familiar and traditional. As a sign that we've spoken against, the greater works, okay, that Jesus is speaking of, okay, has to do with that, the contrast. The works that we're doing today is presenting a great contrast, okay, which is spoken against by the earthly church. The heavenly church is building and bonding with this anointing and knowledge. The earthly church despises it because it does not flow, okay, within the ranks of their own perception or nor in the ranks of their or their particular denomination. It's a sign spoken against. And he says, yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also. In other words, the light that Jesus speaks, okay, will open your conscience, exposing the very depths of your soul. The knowledge which we speak penetrates. The sword of this knowledge penetrates. It breaches the darkness of the conscience. Okay, it breaches the darkness of the conscience, another way of saying that. And this is what, you see, Simeon is saying as regarding Jesus' knowledge and the words that she speak, okay, is going to pierce the darkness. So those which sat in darkness saw a great light. Yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And that's what's happening today. The thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. God is providing, okay, contrast and challenge through his visitations, the visitations through the righteous. Okay, whatever God reveals to you, okay, what the Spirit of the Lord reveals to you to build and bond with, we've spoken against by those which, okay, don't want to abandon that which is familiar. Okay, the genealogies of the flesh, or family traditions. Okay, family traditions, associations. Okay, yes, a sword. Okay, the sword, the knowledge, this knowledge, the sword of spirit now. This knowledge shall pierce through this darkness, which has to do through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Okay, in other words, for you will witness Satan's ministers and protesters at work here. Okay, before, okay, Satan's ministers, okay, were concealed. Okay, they were concealed from the carnal eye. Okay, all they did is say, I love Jesus, and suddenly you thought, you open your heart to them. Okay, they carry a Bible around. The Bible is a token of their witness. That's what they use. They're using the Bible as a token of the witness. We use the Spirit. The Spirit, okay, is the token of witness. The witness which we have is from above. Okay, and this is what Chief Elder John brings out. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, which is earthly, of course, the witness of God is greater, which is the anointing. And it's by this anointing that carries our faith through to completion, from cycle to cycle, from grace to grace. So we see many confirmations were given here, and this is just one of those, from the dreams and the visitations that Mary had, Joseph's dreams, Elizabeth's confirmation, the babe leaping in her womb. Okay, she prophesied, the wise men, okay, the shepherds, the wise men, and Simeon and Anna. Okay, now let's jump from over here. Okay, as we go back, we're going to go now to Genesis chapter 27. Okay, let's read some interesting things here concerning the gut feeling. Okay, whose God is her belly? All right. Now, we're in Genesis chapter 27. Okay, so you can make a note on that. You can always review these later. Review these things later here. We're going to start with one verse 18 here for time's sake. And now, Jacob, he came to Isaac, his father, and he said, my father. And Isaac said, here am I. Who are you, my son? Okay, and Jacob said to his father, Isaac, I'm Esau, your firstborn. Okay, now this was by the counsel of his mother, who was a woman of faith. This was what we call a subconscious or unconscious move, okay, of the spirit, okay, in order to gain this contrast. This contrast had to take place. The contrast that unfolded here, okay, was it was not only a point of offense, but it was also a point of deliverance. When Jesus was betrayed in the garden, okay, that point of offense was a point of deliverance, okay, the betrayal of the anointed one, okay, by Judas. Okay, now, and so he says here, and Jacob said this, I'm Esau, your firstborn. Now, how did the word firstborn there in verse 19? Because we are also, all those born of the Spirit are the firstborn of God. Okay, all those born of the Spirit are the firstborn of God. The firstborn of God, okay, or the remnant. The firstborn, okay, are those which take on, okay, the responsibilities of the father, the parent. And that's why we're called the firstborn, among many brethren. Okay, all those which have the spirit of the firstborn. So here, Jacob is saying, I'm the firstborn, but he's saying this, okay, according to the revelation, that the elder shall serve the younger. The point of revelation is now transpiring here, but it's going to bring and work conflict and hatred. I'm Esau, your firstborn. I have done according as you obeyed me. Arise, I pray you, sit and eat the venison, that your soul may bless me. There's the word blessing again. That means give me the stewardship that's due the firstborn. Okay, that's the blessing. Give me the stewardship that's the due of the firstborn. We see the same thing in the book of Revelation. Blessing, honor, power, wisdom, and strength be unto the Lord. Okay, that is, he is carrying on the traditions of the Father. And this is passed on to us as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are carrying on those divine traditions. We are learning the ABCs and responsibility beginning here. Beginning here in the dimension of contradiction and darkness. We are as lights in this world of great darkness. Okay, we made choice of will to follow the light against all odds. Against all odds. We see this here. Now Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He said, Jacob said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. In one sense, that's true. Okay, now Isaac said to Jacob, here, come here, I pray you, that I may feel. Now this is carnal discernment. Now you notice that Isaac's eyes, okay, have faded to the point where he can see certain images, okay, but not distinctions. And we see this also in the false religious system. The false religious system sees, you could say, images, but not distinction of it. So that a man looks like a tree. A man looks like a tree until the Lord touches him twice. Okay, enlightenment is given for the purpose of opening the eyes, but the Spirit is given in order to see distinction. The Spirit work is that anointing which helps us give distinction. Distinction gives us definition. And truth gives us definition, doesn't it? Truth gives us definition that we behold the face of the Lord in its clearness. Okay, and so this is the purpose of this. I can say why the Holy Ghost selected this particular event and characterized it in this particular manner. And so he says here, come near, I pray you, that I may feel you, my son, whether you be my very son Esau, the elder, which or not. Now Jacob, being the younger, went near to Isaac, the steward, near his father, and now Isaac, his father, felt him. He says, now the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Okay, the voice is that of a man of faith, but yet the appearance here seems to be that of a man of the flesh. For Christ will do the same. For Christ will also deceive the eyes when he is in the flesh. Jesus will deceive the eye, okay, but not the heart. Jesus would deceive the eye, but not the heart. Okay, now so Isaac didn't discern him based upon touch. But he did know by the ear. Okay, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church, not he that can see. Now the Antichrist will provide himself as eye candy, which means he will take on the personification of what the world is looking for. Okay, the world is looking for this and their Messiah, so he's going to take on that particular personification, okay, and he's going to take on that particular characterization. And of course, that is to deceive the eye. Okay, but those that have ears to hear will listen to what the 144,000 be saying. Okay, don't be led by the eye, be led by the Spirit. Don't be led by the letter, be led by the anointing. Okay, so the voice is Jacob's, but the hands are Esau's. So Isaac did not discern who he was here because his hands were hairy. Okay, that which is of common is Esau's hand, so he blessed him. Now Isaac said, are you my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And Isaac said, bring it near to me and that I may eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless you. Okay, now the blessing just isn't just something of a casual acquaintance saying, hi, how are you? That's not the blessing. The blessing has to do, as you read on here. See, you see what the blessing is? Okay, the blessing is in the knowledge for the furtherance of your faith. Okay, not just something that's words of casual greetings. Now Jacob brought it near to him, to his father, and he did eat, and he blessed him. And Jacob brought him wine, and he drank wine and bread, okay, which we show a form of communion. Okay, this form of communion shows a bonding. Okay, just like Jesus, okay, bonded with Abraham when Abraham provided a meal for him. Okay, when he provided a certain yogurt and certain flesh of the goats there and the sheep, the Lord, our creator there, okay, was sitting with Abraham, okay, at the picnic table there in the shade there in the heat of the day, was sitting there, okay, and they were eating. There Abraham was sitting right across from his creator, okay, and his friends, okay, Gabriel and Michael there, as they were eating. I mean, they were chewing the food just like a human would, okay, and his visage looked just like a human, okay, just like an Adamite. So we can see God took the form of his own creation, okay, but he communicated to him that which is of the invisible kingdom, okay, that which, the blessing, the invisible kingdom. His father Isaac said to him, come here now and kiss me, my son. Okay, this is to show the bonding of stewardship. Now we know that Judas Iscariot did kiss Jesus. And this was a point of identification of the steward. But that was not deception. That means he acknowledged stewardship, but only to deceive. Okay, that's the carnal-minded Christian. Okay, they'll acknowledge, okay, just for the purpose of what they feel they can advance themselves with. Okay, but they're not interested in bonding. It's a kiss of betrayal. Okay, now Jacob came near and he kissed him, and Isaac then smelled him and the smell of his raiment and blessed him. See, in the height of the word blessed again. Okay, and he said, see, the smell of my son, in which is the flesh there, is the smell of the field, the fragrance of the field, okay, which has to do with that which is full of flowers and blossoming trees, that which is of springtime. The smell of my son is the smell of springtime. Okay, all the blossoms coming out and all the flowers releasing their fragrances. This is the blessing of this knowledge, which I'm passing on to you, Jacob. Okay, which he thought is Esau. The fragrance of life. Okay, this as also that was the tree of life in the holy city. Now, by this parable here, therefore God give you the dew of heaven. The drops of dew is a blessing. Now, this is what Moses said. Okay, concerning the dew. Remember the dew? For my doctrine to a drop is the dew. Okay, that's what he's talking about. This is a knowledge which is from above. The knowledge from above feeds the soul. Okay, so God gives these drops of dew, even physical manifestations of it. Therefore, God gave you the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Because when Christ comes, he will put his blessing of fire in the flesh for the soul to be fruitful. So let the people serve you. That's the stewardship there. And nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brethren. Okay, that is not in tyranny. He's not talking about tyranny here, but he's talking about oversight of stewardship as a shepherd with a sheep. Don't beat the sheep. Feed the sheep. So let people serve you. Nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brethren. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you. Okay, when he says the word curse here, means derision will be the ruin of the faithless ones that deny you and protest your calling. But grace will increase to everyone that confirms you and your stewardship. So cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you. Now let's go to verse 41 here. Now Esau hated Jacob, okay, which means he openly spoke contempt of his brother, okay, because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau mused a plot. Now we're going to read more about this plotting when we get to the next thing here, okay, and about Joseph. The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob, for by this I'll break his yoke for me. But this wasn't God's plan. So Esau was thinking, okay, if you kill the steward, then the threat is removed. Okay, and that's what they thought about Jesus. If we kill the Messiah, okay, we kill this man who claims himself the Messiah, then the threat is removed. But Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, the death of Jesus was only for the seed of multiplication, that this one seed became many, okay, many fruits of the tree, okay, which has to do with many apostles. Okay, he goes, I'll slay him. These are more my father at hand, I'll slay him. These words of Esau, Rebekah's elder son, were told to Rebekah. Now she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau, as touching you, does comfort himself, proposing to kill you. And the earthly church is doing the same thing. They feel, okay, that as time passes, that the stewardship which God has sanctified will be exhausted and fade away, and that they'll be able to pursue the religious aspirations, okay, and traditions without any threat. Okay, but they're going to be in for a surprise, Because when that sun turns to darkness and the moon turns into like dripping blood, going to be a witness against them, because they're going to be left behind and we're going to leave. Because the face of our Lord in his throne will appear and we will see him and we'll be raptured, we'll be received of him. And the Esau believers will be left behind, but the Israel believers will be taken. Now let's jump over to chapter 37 here. Okay, we were in Genesis 27. Okay, now we're going to go into the future here, to Genesis 37. We're going to see some more interesting things here. Okay, and I want you to highlight here the number 17. The number 17 represents as a door. Okay, and his clothing represents the peace. Now Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father Isaac, of course, was a stranger, a non-resident with the children of Ham. Now we know that Jacob was of Shem. Okay, which is the son of Noah, and the strangers were those which are of Ham, okay, the son of Noah. So Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan, and didn't mix with the races, as Esau did with Hori, okay, in Seir. Now these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph was now 17 years old. Now highlight the word 17. Okay, that particular number was given to me in a dream vision. Okay, the number 17. Now, number 17, okay, has a relevance to what's happening now, because the number 17 was on a post-it attached to the door. Okay, that was in a dream vision that I had. Being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. Now, the number 17 has been confirmed to me over 14 times. Now, remember, Mary had confirmations. Okay, and we counted the confirmations she had. Now, those were just the recorded confirmations. She had more than that. But these were just the recorded confirmations. Now, here the Lord has multiplied that to 14. Okay, and regarding the number 17, which he's revealed to me. And now we go to verse, we move on here. Now, these are generations of Joseph being 17 years old, 10 and 7. Okay, he was feeding his flock with his brethren, the lad with his half brothers, Bilhad, Rachel's maid, and also the sons of Zilpah, Leah's maid. And Joseph brought his father, their evil report. Now Joseph dreamed the dream. And verse 5, I'm jumping ahead here, confirming the coat of standard. They had the coat of many colors, the coat of standard. They had to increase this envy between him and his brethren for the point of separation. Okay, God continually intensified the revelations. And that's what God's doing today. Now we'll go to verse 18. Now when they saw Joseph, they identified him, Joseph, in the distance there by the splendid coat that he had of many colors, which represented a rainbow of peace. Then they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. This is the Esau mindset and the Judas kiss, their brethren. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer is coming here. This is to diminish Joseph's importance and revelations. They called him the dreamer. Okay, come now, therefore, and let us slay him. Let's injure him to satisfy our doubts. So let's come here. Let's slay him and cast him into some pit here. Okay, and we will say that some evil beast has devoured him. Then we shall discern and see whether his dreams will come to pass here. Okay, what will become of his dreams? So the truth of the discernment was in their folly. And that's the same thing in the false religious system today. The truth of the discernment is based in their folly, that which is familiar and traditional, okay, with themselves, not the anointing, that which is familiar and traditional. That's the discernment of their folly. Reuben heard this. Now the oldest son of Leah heard it, and he protested their folly. He set to deliver Joseph out of their hand, okay, and he counseled them, let's don't kill him. The discernment of the fool is in his folly to prove his suspicion is a scale. Okay, now let's go from here to Genesis chapter 7, and I just want to go there. Okay, to show you the number 17. All right? And now, make a note on this. Genesis chapter 7 here, and get your sacrifices ready. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month. Now remember, Noah is the second week. Here we see the second month of the year. Okay, which of course the second month, okay, is also the second Passover. The first Passover is the first month, the 14th day of the month. The second Passover is the second month on the 14th day of the month. There's actually two Passovers per year, for the ones that are near and those which are far off. And so we are in the second Passover, those which are far off, okay, which is talked about in the book of Acts. For the Holy Ghost is given to you and your children, to all those that are far off. That's the Gentiles, which will be now the second week, okay, or the second month, the second eighth week, the second month. So on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out. It began with the Jews, but this message will be completed by the Gentiles. Okay, so it went from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. From the ends of the earth, it will be completed in Jerusalem. Okay, with the martyrdom there of Enoch and Elijah. Okay, it began there, it will be completed there. So in the 600th year of Noah's life, this is why Chief Elder Peter brings that out. Okay, Noah, the eighth person, okay, as a second eighth week. So Noah, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, so highlight the word 17th day, which is the 10 and 7. 10 and 7 represents the priesthood, and the stewardship will be seen within the second week steward. Okay, the second week steward will be repeated in the end of times, as Jesus said. So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, and we are in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, at the conclusion, okay, from the sixth week to second eighth week, okay, which is a tethering to the seventh week, Enochian week. So he goes on here, so number 17. So Joseph was the door, okay, so it was going to open to the stewardship of his deliverance for his brethren, as Noah was, okay, for deliverance of the Adamite, the race of Adam, okay, as it is now in the second eighth week. Okay, the door, the number 17 on it, okay, has to do with deliverance for the righteous to escape the wrath to come. Okay, 17th day of the month, and the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Windows, which is like, is a door or a point of entrance. 17 on the door. Now the rain, which has drops of knowledge, but here we can see this was a flood. Here the floodgates, it says the rain was upon the earth here. 40 days and 40 nights, that's a generation. Okay, for 40 years, God has made known, okay, the transition that would take place from the sixth Enochian week into the second eighth Enochian week. This was being made known and broadcast, okay, and the media was carrying it, okay, and regarding, which is, of course, Facebook and Twitter. Okay, carrying this knowledge. Okay, we're now coming to the end of this, 40 days and 40 nights. The selfsame day entered Noah and his family. Okay, and this will be talked about the house of Eva, is a family. We're the family of the righteous. Noah, the house of Noah here. The selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's son, wife, Emira, okay, if I got that right, and the sons with him into the ark. All right, now, from here, let's go back now to chapter 3 of Philippians. All right, and we'll be concluding over there. So we can see what it means, who God is their belly, whose glory is their shame. In other words, again, they measure everything on the scale of that which is familiar, okay, and traditional. Okay, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame. That it's less than the light of God. And it says it right here, who mind earthly things, tithing, circumcision, communion, baptisms is earthly thing. Whatever could be touched by time and consumed or corrupt, okay, is that which is not sanctified today. Okay, now let's move on here. All right, for our conversation, you can highlight the word conversation in verse 20 as you get your sacrifices ready. We've got about 2 minutes left. For our conversation is in heaven. That is, we use the heavenly tokens. We don't use the earthly artificial tokens. The artificial tokens was put within the furniture and construction of the tabernacle, which required the labor, the physical labor of the physical hand, the hand of flesh. Okay, the hand of flesh constructed those things, okay, which was a point of contact. These were artificial tokens that would point to the one that will fulfill these things with the original. Okay, the original token. Jesus Christ is the original token, made without hands. Okay, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, our conversation, the stewardship of true life and faith reflects the invisible tokens, those things which the ungodly mock, the fruitless ones. So I like the word, okay, you see, whose glories are shame. Okay, these are the ungodly, the fruitless ones. That's what ungodly means. Ungodly, which means their soul is void of the virtue and power of God. But their lips can say, anything they want. Okay, in other words, they can change their mind, but they can't change the condition of their heart. They can change religions, but not change the condition of their heart. Just perception of life. Okay, where will it be, you see, whatever traditional dress that they want to put on. Their mind can change. They can change their mind. They can change their belief system, but they can't change their hearts. Okay, that takes the work of regeneration. So the ungodly, okay, are those, false religious reform. Okay, false religious reform. Okay, it's based upon the hook of promise, but not the reality of that virtue. Okay, they promise change. They promise the engagement with the Lord. They make promises of healing. They make promises of miracles. They make promises of prosperity. Okay, and all these promises are void of life. It was by promise that Satan deceived Eve in the Garden of Paradise. It was by promise. If you take of this carnal token, you become as a god. Okay, in other words, your eyes will be open. Okay, in other words, you're not going to die right away. But your eyes will be open. Okay, at that point in time, her eyes were open. She saw her nakedness. Okay, she saw now the conscience was bare of God's light. The conscience being bare of God's light gave a testimony that the soul transgressed. That's the same thing that's happening today. The knowledge which we preach, it exposed the condition of the soul and also reveals the corruption of the conscience. The false gospel is a false covering. It makes promises, but doesn't deliver it in actuality. For our conversation is in heaven. Make sure you highlight that. Verse 20. Okay, and from whence also we look. I mean, we behold Christ in the knowledge. We look for the Savior. We see the face of God, okay, within his knowledge. So we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. And well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.